Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 10th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. As promised yesterday, we finished the first chapter of the book of Ruth in our journey through the book of Ruth, and we are going to spend the next two or three days with some question and answers from a recent Q&A I did in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Now, this particular Q&A was a little different than the kind I normally air for you. Typically, I air a Q&A that comes at the end of one of my sermons where people sort of have the message fresh on their mind. They might ask something related to it. This was a prearranged Q&A. I was on the platform with Dr. Lynn Hiles. Pastor Pete Norris had asked us during our conference. Lynn and I did the conference together. I preached one night, he preached the next. And he had asked us to do a Saturday after lunch. We sat on the platform and did nearly 2 hours of questions and answers. And we would go back and forth dealing with just whatever we wanted to, as far as it wasn't like this question's for Paul, this question's for Lynn. It was more of here's the question, and then we both either handled it, or one would or the other would, or whatever. And sometimes we even stayed on one going back and forth with it. This was the first question asked. Now, what I'm working on possibly putting the entire thing up, nearly 2 hours of Q&A. But to do that, I want to clear that with everybody involved, make sure everybody that is on there wants to do that. But also, I want to do it, I'm considering doing what we're going to call long-form Fridays, where every now and then when we have a long-form, either an interview or a long Q&A, we put the entire thing up on Friday's podcast. And so I thought we would talk about long-form Fridays on a Friday. And so that if this Q&A, if we do get clearance to do the entire thing, we'll probably put it up next Friday. I've also got a sit-down interview that I'm doing with someone that'll be on long-form Friday. And so we'll talk more about that as time proceeds. But what I'm doing for the next few days is going into the Q&A and grabbing questions that I answered or that I, my portion of the answer. Sometimes you'll notice a slight change in my volume, my intensity. That might be because I've spliced together my portions of the answer. Some questions I would answer some, Dr. Hiles would answer it, then I would jump back in with something, he would jump back in with something. So I've put my, this particular answer that I give on this question was two parts, and so I just put them together. You might not even catch the split. The question was in regards to the doctrine of universalism. The question was specifically, do people have to believe in order to receive? Here's my answer. It takes about 5 minutes. I'll be back in a moment. First of all, to elaborate on universalism, probably a very simple definition is that everybody, universally, everyone is saved. Universally, everyone is going to heaven. No need for anyone to believe. No need for anyone to repent. That the argument is often that if Adam sinned and everybody's a sinner and they have no choice in it, Jesus succeeds, you have no choice in it. And so we're basically trying to balance out the theology of a fallen man and the theology of a successful man. And so if everybody's a sinner, then everybody's a saint. My issue with that, and I do take issue with it, is that it excludes faith as the activator of God's grace that puts you into the life of God. Because, yes, the world died at Calvary. I think Paul, to me, makes it, I hate the phrase, the Bible clearly says, because we've always got arguments about what the Bible says, so I'll avoid that statement. But I think Paul is rather clear of what he believes in 2 Corinthians 5, when he says, we thus conclude that if one man died, all men died. So I think at the cross, what Paul believed was that everyone was represented in Jesus, and everyone died to the old Adam in Christ, but that there's a resurrection that happens, and that Paul says in Romans 6, as many of us as are baptized into Christ are resurrected into his new life. He doesn't say everyone is, but as many of us as are. So when I receive Christ, I'm going into his death. Though I died when he died, I'm going into his death. I'm reconciling me to what he's done, because Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 5 to say, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So we go out and tell people, hey, you've been reconciled to God. And what's left at the end of that chapter? Reconcile yourselves to the Lord. So that's my response to what he's done for me. He has reconciled me by forgiving me and dying in my place. I'm reconciling myself to him by faith in the eternal life that comes through receiving who Christ is. I think a lot of this issue is due to the fact that we have heard the gospel as a message of what's going to happen to you in eternity. Yeah. And because of that, I think there's a pushback with the sort of the universalism doctrine of, hey, a loving God's not going to send people to hell, so everybody must already be saved. And yes, they're ultimately, their knees are going to bow and their tongues are going to confess. And so that means that God has saved everyone. But I think the problem with that for me is that the gospel is not about where you go when you die. But it's been that way for so long, we don't know any other way to preach it. The gospel is about the life you can have while you're here, because he's given his life for you. And so to me, it's not even an argument I'm concerned about as to whether everybody ends up in heaven someday. I hope they do. The argument I'm concerned about is, how do we take people out of the hell they're in now? And the gospel is not a message of taking you out of hell in a million years and putting you into heaven. The gospel is a message that heaven has penetrated your hell, and if you'll respond to the life of God, you can begin to push back the jungle that's impressing in on your life. And because the garden's overrun with weeds and snakes, and heaven's come in to make a difference there. And so I'm always a little bit taken aback when I get into the issue with universalism, because all they want to do is talk about what happens to people after they die. And I say, when are you going to start talking to people about what happens before they die? Because that's the gospel. What you're talking about is theory. But the gospel's real. Like, you're living this life in 100 different modes of chaos, and you, through the power of who you are in Christ, have the power to change that. And you tell me faith isn't needed for that? Good luck. Good luck, because you're going to need to believe in something bigger than the you you've been looking at in the mirror, and you're going to need to believe in something bigger than the educated you and the experienced you. You're going to need to know you're one of the sons of God if you're going to go face off. So if you want to theoretically argue about where we are in a million years, I might lose the argument with you, but I refuse to believe that the gospel doesn't affect where you are right now. And I actually don't think either one of us are real confident about where people go in 10 million years. But if we're honest, we're pretty confident about where people are in today. And to me, that's the gospel. Okay, I hope you enjoyed my answer, or at least are tracking with me on the answer. I'm sure it probably surfaces more questions on your part. That's okay. That's what we're all about, is asking the right questions. I don't think sometimes getting the answers the end game, as much as learning to ask the right questions, seems to be important. So, again, do people have to believe in order to receive? And then that was our answer. Tomorrow we'll do another question. I'll see you then. God bless.